We are studying the book of Matthew in a new and unique way. We are in the process of looking at the book of Matthew through the five major sermons or discourses given in the book of Matthew. And probably it will leave an effect upon your mind when you think of the book of Matthew, rather than merely thinking of a narrative of the life of Christ, you will think of the book of Matthew as a great book of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are actually six major discourses, but five of them in the book of Matthew all end with this same phrase that you find in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding. And do you find that phrase at the end of every major discourse? Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, Matthew chapter, after Matthew 13, after Matthew, Olivet Discourse, you'll find that same phrase ending those discourses. And I felt that the Lord would just have us look at these passages of Scripture and learn what the Lord had to teach His disciples. And here in Matthew chapter 10, we have a special discourse to the disciples and concerning their ministry in the into and to the people of Israel. And so this morning we would like to begin by looking at beginning with verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now the setting of this passage of Scripture is a ministry to the people, to the Jewish people of Israel. It is not a message to the Gentiles, is not a message to the Samaritans. It was a message to the lost house, the lost sheep of the people of Israel. And so you get an insight of what the disciples are about to do. They are to reach out to the Jewish people, and the Lord calls them lost. Lord calls them lost. They're Jews. They know much of the Bible. They are religious, but they are lost. They are not saved. They have a name, but they're dead. They have a profession, but they do not have a reality. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we find the commands. Verse 7, we have the announcement they are to make of the kingdom. And he's supposed to announce to the people, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the announcement that they were to make to the people of Israel. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Of course, the people were looking for some ruler on a white horse to come and defeat the Romans. And they had all these misconceptions about the kingdom. But he said, "I want you to announce the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And of course, if you would talk about that today, if you you would say to someone, "Hey, today's the day. Today's the day. We're going to meet eternity. We're going to meet God." The kingdom is at hand. What would people be thinking? What they should be thinking is about a person. Jesus Christ. If this is your last day in this world, that's who you should be thinking about. You should be thinking about what you have done with Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the kingdom of heaven was at hand because the Lord Jesus has come to the earth. The King has come. The one who will usher in the kingdom, the person who is the head of the kingdom, the person who can offer you the kingdom. And so there's an offer. Now we go into all the dispensational teachings that surround this, and there's certainly controversy or thought, well, is he really offering the real literal kingdom to the Jews? Is he trying to sidestep the cross? Obviously not. But there is an offer of the kingdom, and in that offer it is like John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When they said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it was an offer of the kingdom that required a response to a person, Jesus Christ. There was a needed response to a person. And everyone in this room has done something with Jesus Christ. God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But there's a response that's required, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's response required to this person. Most people go on in life ignoring Jesus Christ. Ignoring Jesus Christ. They're going to do nothing about Him. Some people are foolish enough to reject Him. Some will submit to Him and receive Him. He came into the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's found in a person, Jesus Christ. In the announcement of this kingdom and the offer of the kingdom, there's an exhibition of the kingdom. And He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. What is the kingdom all about? The Bible tells us about the millennial kingdom that is coming. The thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth. A physical kingdom centered in a physical land, Israel, for a physical people, the Jewish people, who at that point will have trusted Christ. And it talks about the Bible, talks about that kingdom, and the Old Testament is over and over talks about that coming kingdom that will come. And Isaiah chapter 11, I just want to point out a couple things. And you've heard these verses. Most people don't know them in their context. But in Isaiah 11, 6, it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." This is talking about the millennial kingdom, the literal thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth, centered in Israel. And what is it saying? It's saying that the curse of sin will be dealt with. The curse of sin. A lion will lay with the lamb. A young child can lead a ferocious animal. And the principle here of the kingdom is a certain putting aside of the curse of sin. The Bible says, in the kingdom, an infant shall die at 100 years. Doesn't mean they're going to be a baby for 100 years, but it means that there will be return to longevity of life. But here, the whole principle, when they have the disciples go out into the countryside, and they said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go out into the countryside. I want you to do these things. I want you to go and heal the sick. I want you to go out and I want you to cleanse the lepers. I want these people who have this terminal illness of which there is no cure, I want you to go out there and I want you to heal them." And it says, "And I want you to raise the dead." And go to somebody's house, someone died, I want you to go raise the dead. He says, "I want you to go and I want you to cast out devils." Now, what was this all about? You see, they're announcing the kingdom. They're announcing the nature of the kingdom. They're announcing who Jesus Christ is. Who is Jesus Christ? What is the kingdom all about? The kingdom is about the deliverance from the curse of sin. That's what the kingdom's all about. A deliverance from the curse of sin. The Bible says, Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin." There's something about this world that most people don't understand. This world is under the curse of sin that came when Adam allowed sin into the human race. All around us, we are living in a world that is under the effects of the curse of sin. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. In verse 15, the announcement of the coming of the Messiah through Eve is here, but we're not going to focus on that this morning. We're going to focus on what it says, "And I will put enmity between thee," that's Satan, "and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Here we have this great animosity, this great spiritual battle, this a battle of evil in the world. Mr. Griffin gave me an article about the shooter and in Virginia Tech. And it's interesting from a secular viewpoint, says there's three reasons why this took place. One, it says our country is in a moral crisis. Funny that the secular press can finally recognize that our country is in a moral crisis. But then the second reason says there's evil in this world. There's evil in this world. There is evil in this world. There is a devil. There are forces of evil. There are demons. And there is a system of evil. You know, a lot of people do not think, understand, calculate the doctrine, the truth about sin and the curse of sin in this world. In fact, I'm going to talk about that tonight in our series on the philosophy of the family. But notice there's a curse of sin. Verse 16, "And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow." Eve was meant to bear children that would be perfect and have eternal life. And now Eve was going to bear children with a sinful heart. In fact, her first son was a murderer. Sorrow. Notice he said, curse of sin. "And unto Adam he said, Behold, thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it was taken, for dust thou art." There's going to be this conflict in life. Plant a garden. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to get weeds. You know what's an amazing thing? I just find an amazing thing. You plant corn. I don't know how this works. The weeds look like corn. You ever notice that? We had an intelligent professor come over to our house one day and never weeded corn. He was having a hard time figuring out the weeds versus corn. Because you know what? They look alike. You know what? The part of the curse of sin. Weeds. And part of the curse of sin is vicious animals. The curse of sin. God said to Adam and Eve, "The day you eat thereof, Genesis 2:17, perhaps you're still there. The day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Jesus has said to the disciples, heal the sick, cure the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. This is the exhibition of my kingdom, because my kingdom is a deliverance from the curse of sin. When they said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now, people make a great mistake today, and they think that being saved from sin is merely being saved from hell. That's only a small portion, a large significant one though, of the deliverance of sin that Jesus Christ purchased and came to this earth to accomplish. Notice Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Notice what it says. Verse 21. Because the creature, the creation itself, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, most people don't understand that. But our creation, this world in which we live, don't you realize it is declining? It is decaying. The magnetic field is weakening. The gene pool is weakening. It is groaning under the curse of sin. Scientists, they don't understand that. Christians, ones do. But secular evolutionists, they don't understand. In fact, they are so twisted, they think it's getting better and better. It's getting worse and worse. The creation is groaning under the curse of sin. Isn't it amazing that people don't understand that they are born sinners? The average person, you know what? The average Christian person, I dare say, the average young person in this church who's heard the Bible over and over and over, I dare say, the average person in this church, even the young person in this church, has very little thought on the reality of their sinful nature. It is not in the calculation of people's thinking. The kingdom of God is at hand. What's the kingdom of God? Deliverance from the curse of sin. Sin came into the world. With sin came disease. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought with them into this world the curse of sin. Disease. Sickness. And he said, heal the sick. Hey! Jesus Christ, the deliverer. is here. The one and the only one that can deliver man from the curse of sin. He's here. He's arrived. Cleanse the lepers. Wow. You have leprosy. You had to go to a leper colony. It was an infectious disease with no known cure. I don't know much about it, but from what I understand, it attacks the body and the extremities. First your fingers fall off, then your toes or whatever, then your ears and all your extremities start falling off. And it gets down to just stubs. And usually, by that time, people can't take care of themselves. I don't know how much further, obviously, death. And of course, leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. You and I can do nothing about sin. We cannot do anything about sin. We can't cleanse ourselves from sin. We can't take away the defilement to sin. We can't stop the progress of sin. We're helpless. We're hopeless. We need Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? The world is supposed to be so civilized and so advanced. There are more addictions in this world than you can imagine. Addictions. Little kids, 2 years old, 3 years old, addicted to kill the chicken or whatever game it is called. Can you imagine that? From the smallest age. I mean, everywhere you look in life, there's addictions. There's good addictions, there's bad addictions. But there are all sorts of addictions. You know what? It's because of the curse of sin. Cleanse the lepers. Doesn't mean much to us, but to them, wow! It'd be like saying the end of cancer. Here's the one who's come to deliver the world from the curse of sin. Raise the dead. Raise the dead. What about death? There's a sweet little girl. Are you going to die someday? How sad. You know, you go to a funeral and you look at the pictures. And you look at this person that you look, here's this person, they died, maybe they're 80 years old. And you go, you look at the wedding picture. Oh, their youth, their youthfulness, their vigor. And they aged and they died. The wages of sin is death. People say, oh, I'm not a sinner. You're dying. And there isn't anybody that isn't going to die. And there isn't anybody that could do something about death. There's no one that can do something to stop death and taking place in their life. It will take place. He said, raise the dead. The deliverer has come. The one who has come to deliver the human race and the world and creation from the curse of sin, Jesus Christ. This is the King. This is a kingdom. Cast out demons. The power of evil. I think of that verse in Mark chapter 1. Verse 27. The demon said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who art the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, in that as much as that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Cast out demons. Evil spirits. Evil. Nothing in his sight. Why? Because he's the deliverer. Why? Because he's come to deliver man from the curse of sin. The curse of sin. Romans chapter 6. I wasn't hiding, I had to tie my shoe. Verse 16. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Jesus Christ can deliver us from the power of sin. You know, most people don't understand the power of sin. Do you realize that sin is bigger than any one of us? Sin is more powerful than any one of us. You aren't going to touch any sin without being burned. You cannot play with sin and live. Sin is a part of the curse. Christ came to deliver us from the curse of sin. He is the deliverer. He will save his people from their sins. As we are here today, do we see ourselves under the curse? Do we see Jesus as who he is, the one who came to deliver us from the curse of sin? That's what his kingdom's about. You know, when you think about it in that realm, sometimes it's a little bit trite to make the whole kingdom say, oh, you want to go to heaven. Not that we don't want anybody to go to heaven. That's where people need to go. But here's the picture. The one who came to deliver us from the curse of sin. Then it says, very interestingly enough, freely ye have received, freely give. I'm sure this isn't the right word, but the cost of the kingdom is free. It's free. You know, it's not like the magic of the Buddhists or the magic of the witch doctor, where you pay so much and you do so much and then you'll be delivered from this evil. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. I'm reminded in 2 Kings 5 when Elisha healed Naaman. This wealthy man, wealthy general from Syria, he came with these animals all loaded with gifts, payments to heal him. I mean, if you had leprosy, you'd pay anything in the world to be healed from it. And he had these animals laden with riches to pay the prophet to heal him. And Elijah says, no. No. I want none of them. The cost of the kingdom, it can't be bought. Can't be purchased. It can't be earned. It's purchased freely for us by Jesus Christ. It's grace. It isn't what we deserve. It's the unmerited favor of God towards us. Rescuing a helpless and hopeless race. It's the grace of God. It's the opposite of anything that we would earn or anything that we deserve or any reward that we could claim. It's the grace of God. The cost of the kingdom, it's free. I find also interestingly the response to the kingdom. Verse 9 it says, provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. Now some people make a mistake and say this is modern missionary methods. No. This isn't talking about missions. This is talking about ministering to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. It's not talking about missions, modern missions. Not talking about going to the Samaritans. Not talking about going to the Gentiles. It's talking about going to the Jews. And make sure you don't get those two mixed up when you study the Bible. And into whatsoever city or town ye enter, inquire in it who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. Interesting truths here. The general truth is this. There's going to be response to your message and to your ministry. The true response to the kingdom will be the support of the ministry. The true response of the kingdom will be a participation in that ministry. So go to a city. As you go, find out who will receive you. Find out who will put you up in their home. Find out who will feed you. Find out who will clothe you. Find out who will back up your ministry. It's kind of interesting. And I don't have this all put together. I'm trying to formulate this. But today, it's the opposite. The megachurch movement tries to make the ministry as non-committal as possible. You don't have to give up anything. You don't have to give up Sunday morning. You don't have to give up Saturday night. You don't have to give up Wednesday night. I mean, if you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. If you want to come on Saturday night, come. Whatever's convenient for you. Hey, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. I mean, you know, you don't need to dress up and show respect to God. Come, you know, in your Bermuda shorts. Come in your tank tops. Doesn't matter, you know. It's everything is about you, your convenience. You don't have to tithe. You know, there's enough of you, just put 50 cents in the offering, that'd be take care of it. No commitment. But what do you say about the true response to the kingdom? Don't take any money. Don't take extra clothes. You'll find out who is on the Lord's side. By what? By their participation in the ministry. By their participation in the ministry. It's interesting, Jesus healed 10 lepers. How many came back to thank Him and worship Him? What's the answer? One. Who really received the message? The nine? No. Who received the message? The one who responded to the message. Who got involved in the message. I think it's interesting if you look in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, and we'll probably deal with this further, but I think it's just beginning to get our thoughts together. In Acts chapter 1, verse 41, it says, "They that gladly received His word were baptized, And the same day there added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. I love the word fellowship. The word fellowship is the word partnership. Partnership. It wasn't, hey, you guys keep on doing a good job. We're going to sit in the pew and watch. No, partnership. The Bible says, and where they were scattered, everyone where they were scattered spread the word of God. They didn't hire preachers to give out the gospel. Everybody took out the gospel. Everybody was a part of the ministry. Everybody was partnering with God. And that's what Jesus is saying through His disciples. Hey, find out who's partners. Then you'll find out the real nature of the kingdom. You know, we live in a day of non-involvement, non-commitment. Everything about that is 100% against the Bible. You know, if you're saved, you aren't content with your loved ones just having religion. You're concerned about their soul. You're concerned about whether they're going to hell or not. There's a participation. There's a reality. And so, he's identifying the kingdom. He's announcing the kingdom. He's teaching great spiritual truth to the disciples about the work of God and the kingdom of God and the ministry. Great truths for us. Maybe we could put it this way. That last point. The more that it costs to follow Jesus Christ, the more the genuine spiritual response, the more real and spiritual the response is. You know, there's a reason if a person's half-hearted. There's a reason if they don't participate. There's a reason if a person's on the sideline. The genuine nature of the kingdom calls for participation in the work of God. It would simply be said, hey, I want to do that too. I want to get involved in the spread of the Word of God too. Announcing the kingdom through His disciples. Giving them a true nature of the kingdom of God. There's an offer that must be made constantly. Whosoever will, let him come. There's an offer. That's part of the kingdom. offering people eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's a description of the kingdom. Demonstration of the kingdom. It's a kingdom that delivers men from the curse of sin. There's a cost to the kingdom. It's the grace of God. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be bought. It's not a kingdom of reward. It is freely offered through the grace of God. But there is always a test of the reality of a participation in that kingdom. The test of the reality of that kingdom in a person's life. And that is seen by participation, involvement. You know, we have the same ministry today in a different sense. The Lord Jesus has come. Other people need to know about Him. They're caught up in religion. They don't know the person. And the greatest demonstration of that kingdom is the change that can come in our life. The evidence that it's real. And the reality of people being saved from sin. This community needs to hear the voice of people who've been delivered from sin and are spreading that news of the reality of victory in Jesus Christ. And if we have participated in that kingdom, certainly the norm is to do everything that we can to help it be furthered. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I thank you that the Lord Jesus has come to save us, deliver us from the curse of sin. And Lord, man is cursed by sin. Our mind, our will, our heart, all darkened by sin. We're helpless against the power, the addictive power of sin. We're helpless to get rid of its stain and its guilt. We're helpless to save ourselves from hell. It's only the Lord Jesus. May we see ourselves as sinners. May we see the curse of sin. May we see Jesus Christ as the deliverer. We pray, Lord, for that soul today that is finally coming under the reality of the understanding of sin and their sinfulness, and that only Jesus Christ can save them from sin, that they might turn to Him in faith and be saved, Lord, not only from hell, but from the power of sin in their life. And Lord, may we realize that this is the greatest message in all the world. The need to be saved from sin and its curse and power. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here today. You say, Pastor, I see that I am a sinner. I see that there's a penalty for sin. I see there's a curse for sin. I need to be saved from sin. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved. Anyone here today, wherever you might be, just lift up your hand and I might pray for you. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm a Christian. But I can see the power of sin over my life. I can see how sin has power in my life. How evil things, addictive things, have consumed my life. And I'm caught up in these evil desires and these addictions. And I need to be freed. And I realize that it's only Jesus Christ that can free me. And God is speaking to your heart of your need to trust and to turn and to rely and to follow Jesus Christ in your life. For He is the only one that can deliver you and I. And say, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus Christ as a deliverer in my life. And I need to trust Him and turn to Him in specific areas of my life that I realize that I'm a slave and that only He can deliver me. And say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart today. I'm glad that Jesus came to deliver. And I need Him to deliver me. Just lift up your hand wherever it might be. God's speaking to your heart today. Praise the Lord. Okay, amen. Others, God is speaking to your heart. Here's the King. Here's the essence of His kingdom. Deliverance from the curse of sin. Will you turn to Christ? Will you let Him have His way in your life? It's only He. Lord, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for the fact that You not only died on the cross, but You rose from the dead. Not only paid the penalty of sin, but You gave the victory over sin by new life that You can give. And so, Lord, I pray that in Your grace and mercy that Your people will find the deliverance that only Jesus Christ can give. And thank You that, Lord, that they who come to God by Him shall be saved to the uttermost. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.